Yes, Lord. We adore you. We love you. We praise your name, Lord. You're our all in all, Lord. We're here this morning as your children, as your people, as your word says, called out ones, your church. Lord, we desire to meet with you. We desire to be at your feet and just listen to what the Spirit says. We desire to have communion with you in such a close manner, Lord, in a personal way. Lord, the wonderful thing is that you desire the same thing and that you're here with us. I just pray as we go through your word, Lord, that you would speak to us in such a powerful way, Lord, that your word would go out, Lord, and it would hit that intended mark, hit those hearts, hit those minds, that it would transform, that it would mold, that it would shape, that we would not, Lord, be embarrassed of your word ever, Lord, because you're not embarrassed of us. So, Lord, we just pray, move in a powerful way, meet us here. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Good morning, church. It's good to see you all. I like that greeting, nice and loud. If you're new here, we're making our way through the gospel according to Luke. We are in chapter 8. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Luke chapter 8. We are in verse 19. If you don't have a Bible, you can raise your hand and someone will get one to you. There are Bibles up front on both ends and on the back. And we do encourage people to follow along. It is God's word. It's transformative. It's powerful. God's word is supernatural. And as we go through it, the word of God goes through us. We want to be Bereans. We want to say, that's what it says on here. We agree. Amen. All right. Well, will you stand with me? Luke chapter 8, verse 19. We're just going to go and read through a few verses and come back and see what the Lord has for us. Verse 19, then his mother and brothers came to him and could not approach him because of the crowd. And it was told him by some who said, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you. But he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are these, listen, who hear the word of God and do it. You may be seated. As we've been going through God's word, going through its incredible gospel, we see that over and over, Jesus has been saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. He's been exhorting and reminding and encouraging and even warning, saying, be careful how you hear. When you listen to the word of God, something happens. And last week, we went over the parable of the sower, right? And the seed, the heart of the individual. And we learned that the seed is the word of God and that as that sower goes and casts it out, that it lands in four different types of hearts, or the ground, if you will. It either lands on or on the wayside, on the rocks, or in thorns, or on good ground. And Jesus gave us the explanation what this is. A hard heart, a hard ground, where he said that Satan will come and just take that seed. The birds of the air come and take that seed and never penetrated the heart of the individual. And we read where he said that he does not want an individual to be saved. So he's right there ready to pluck that word of God from the hearts of individual. Why? Because it's a hard heart. There's not an intent to hear, to listen. There's that soft, pliable soil is not there. And then there was the one in the rocks that it said that, hey, they were excited. It sprung up quickly, but said it had no root in itself. There was no root in that individual. And all there was excitement. And it said as soon as difficulty came, temptation came, it withered away. And we've seen that, right? There's great analogies. We've seen a certain plant that garden, something we planted, it goes up and all of a sudden it just dies because there's no root in it. It just withers away. And then the last one was the one in the thorns. And interestingly enough, it said that it did produce fruit, but it never came to maturity. And that's sad That's that individual that, hey, listen, they go to church and so forth, but there was never maturity in their lives, never matured in the Word of God because they never allowed the Word of God to truly take root. There wasn't that good ground. And the thorns, which are the cares of the world, it says they loved the world as much as they loved Jesus, and they allowed the world to choke out that Word of God. And that individual lives with one foot in the world and one foot in the Word of God. And it's a miserable existence because it's a terrible thing living in the world, living the secular life, knowing that you know Jesus, that that's not right. And then it's a terrible thing being in church because you know you're not doing what God has called you to do. And it's just terrible. And there's that grinding inside, that conviction of the Holy Spirit. Now, he also gave us the parable of the light as well. He said, hey, listen, who lights a light and then puts it under a bushel? Who covers up? It's silly, right? These are analogies. These are examples. These are parables that we can understand. These are earthly stories that have a spiritual meaning. And what he was saying is, listen, you're not only supposed to hear the Word of God, you're supposed to receive the Word of God, you're supposed to apply the Word of God, and you're supposed to share the Word of God, and you'll produce much fruit. That's it. It's pretty straightforward. He gave us the interpretation. We don't have to guess. It's a choice, though. It's a choice. You know that in the manner that you listen, it's a choice. Because what did he say? He says, take heed how you hear. You can dictate how you hear. When you come in here, you can come in here with a hardened heart and say, no, I don't want to listen to that. I'm going to go to please my wife or please my husband. I'm going to go there because I'm going to check it off the box, and that's it. It could be religion, it could be this and so forth. You have the choice. I have the choice in what manner I hear. I can say, Lord, you know what? I'm just not feeling that I once was feeling and blah, blah, blah. I said, but I'm here. Please help me. I'm here. And that heart God honors. He says, I will speak into your life. We have the right attitude. So it was great. It was a challenge. In short, he said, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And you will have fruitful lives. And it was a challenge for you and a challenge for the crowds, the great crowds that were around. But now as we read this small portion, it really continues. Jesus carries this point a little bit further on. Take a look at these verses once again with me. Follow along because the idea carries along. Then his mother and brothers came to him. There are these crowds. What's going, you know, there's all these people pressing upon him. You can read the other gospel accounts, and we can read them all three. And it said, and could not approach him because of the crowd. And it was told him by some who said, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. Listen, another account says that they were saying he was beside himself. In other words, he was going nuts. Says, I don't know what's going on. This is his own brothers, you know? And we know that James didn't believe until after the resurrection. His own family didn't believe. Now, I'm not saying about Mary, okay? We see it that she hid things in her heart and so forth. She was there at the cross. She was there and so forth. But there was doubt. His own family doubted him. So here they are. They come. But I love what Jesus says. Notice that everybody comes to Jesus in the same level ground. Notice what he says in verse 21. He says, but he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are these who what? Church? And do it. Says the family of God, those that are in my family, those that are in the kingdom, are those that are born again. It's equal ground. We come to Jesus in the exact same fashion. Same way. There's Jesus and there's the rest of us. And we come in the same fashion. We have to repent. We come to him and we put our trust in him. And we're born again. And we enter the family of God, the heavenly family. The family of God are those who hear the word of God and receive it, believe it, and live it. No exception. There's only one way, and his name is Jesus. One way. I am the way, the truth, and the life, he said. And no one comes to the Father but by me. It's incredible. I love that. He loves you and me in the same fashion. Listen, God calls us at different places in the ministry, different callings, but his love for you and me is the same, and we came to him in the exact same way, sinners in need of a Savior, recognizing that we're sinners, recognizing that I need a Savior and that I need my sins forgiven. That's how we come to him. Be careful how you hear, he says, right? Be careful how you hear. And here, once again, he cements that. Those who hear the word of God and receive it. Well, he moves on now. Notice verse 25. This is the first storm that we're going to see. There's another storm that happens. But what happens after the Lord teaches us something? He goes over and over and over something. He's been going over and over the importance of hearing, believing, applying his word, right? Over and over, he's been putting that in their hearts and in my heart and in your heart, hopefully. The disciples, they were there. Right now, once again, they heard it. Well, now they're going to have an opportunity to apply what they heard. Take a look at the next verses. He says, now it happened, verse 22, on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, what did he say? Let us cross over the other side of the lake. Did he say, let us go halfway? Let us go on a fishing trip. Let us go and hang out in the storm. Let us go and perish. What did he say? Let us cross over the other side of the lake. This is Jesus saying, hey, listen, we're going to cross over the other side of the lake. That is where we're going. Jesus has given you promises and given me promises. His word is full of promises for our lives. And there's certain times in our lives where he speaks to us so profoundly. And he gives us his word. But oftentimes we're shaken. Oftentimes things come and we're like, oh, we forgot what he said. And we look at the circumstances and we're shaken. And we forgot that the word of God is the word of God. And that will not ever pass away. That his word is sure. So he tells them it's a promise. They're going to make it to the other side. But look at what happens here. And it says, and they launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. Now, Mark tells us that he was asleep with the pillow. He was out. Long day of ministry. And a windstorm came. Windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. This is real, guys. I've never been to Israel, but I'm told about these storms that come about there. Some have witnessed them, and what it is the Sea of Galilee is about 600 feet above sea level, but there's these incredible mountains and so forth where the heat of it comes in and meets this cold air, and it just picks up, and there are these huge storms that you might as well be in the middle of the ocean, and it's a scary thing. Listen, these guys were fishermen. They've seen a number of things. But notice, this is unusual. This is an unusual storm. And it says that they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. Real thing. Their lives were in jeopardy. Notice verse 24, it says, and they came to him. These are the disciples. These are fishermen. These are seasoned men. And awoke him saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. Master Jesus, this is a matter of life and death. We are dying. How could you be asleep? This is a real storm, a storm that could take their lives. They didn't know if they would make it through. They were doubting, and maybe you're in one of those storms, a real storm, that you don't know if it's going to take your life, because real things happen. Illnesses happen. Things that can take our lives. A real thing. And they're panicking. They're afraid. Mark's account tells us that they said, Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? You can feel that way, can't you, when you're going through difficult things, when you're going through hardships, when everything is falling apart, when you lose your job and you're sick and something's going, you feel like, Lord, don't you know? Don't you care? God, if you care, why am I going through this? All these things are going on. We're in the middle of storms. We can doubt God. And we can ask that very same question. Lord, do you not care? We can question God. But listen, He cares. He cares. He knows exactly what's going on. He knows the beginning and the end. He knows where you're at. And He's giving you a promise. He's giving me a promise. Notice what He does next. He says, then He arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased. And there was a calm. Incredible. The wind and the waves obey Him. He stopped the storm. There are times that Jesus stops the storms, and there are times that He gets us through the storm. There's all different types of storms for the Christian. We go through different things in our lives. Some of them are storms of correction. We were disobedient. We're like, no, we don't want to do this. And God, in His grace and His mercy and His love, He says, I'm going to correct you. And He sends the storm of correction, hey, to get us to a certain destination. And there are storms also that come from Satan, that come from the enemy. This particular one here is from the enemy. This particular storm, Mark tells us in Mark 4:39, tells us that when He rebuked the storm, He said, peace, be still. And the Greek word, as I butcher it, says, phimao. And it means, be muzzled, be speechless. He's commanding. And if you read ahead, you know what's waiting for them at the other side. And I know you guys read ahead, right? Because the church is full of Bereans. We want to know what the Word of God said. We learned that last week, right? We want to know what Jesus says. So we know what waits ahead. There's demoniacs waiting ahead. There's a demoniac, a legion, tells us. And Satan has a stronghold on this individual. He has a stronghold on that side. And he certainly didn't want Jesus there. But notice that after He rebukes the storm, He rebukes His disciples. Verse 25, but He said to them, where is your faith? That's the title of the message. Christian, where's your faith? Jesus had been drilling into their hearts, into their minds, as He has for us, for me here, saying, hey, are you paying attention? Are you listening? Take care how you hear. Are you receiving the Word of God? He told them, I'm going to take you to the other side. We're going to the other side. And now He gives them a rebuke. He says, where's your faith? Did you see me pacing back and forth in the boat? Did you see me worrying? He was in perfect rest. He wasn't concerned. Storms will test your faith. And listen carefully. Failure of faith happens when we elevate circumstances above God's promises, above His Word. Failure of faith happens when we elevate circumstances above God's Word, above His promises. He said, let us cross over. He didn't say, let us drown. He told them. He told them storms were coming, right? We went over the Sermon on the Plain as well, Sermon on the Mount. He said the same thing. In verse 6, chapter 6, verse 47, he says, whoever comes to me after giving these teachings, these sermons, he says, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, doers of the word, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. Who's the rock? Jesus. who laid the foundation on rock. And notice, and when, not if, and when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. It could not shake it. Sadly, they were shaken. They were shaken. And that could happen in our lives. We'd be just like them. We look at this here, it's like, how? Why? You're with Jesus. You're with God. You're walking with God. He's done miracles. He's given life to the dead. He gave that widow back her only son. The miracles that you've seen, and how could you be shaken? How can we be shaken? Have you seen the miracles of God in your life? There's a creator, the Almighty God, and he has given us his word. And they were shaken. Church, listen, we're not to be shaken. There are things that come in life, but just in general. And the way that you react and I react should be different than the way that the world reacts. Because we have a living hope. The creator of heaven and earth is my daddy, my dad. And he's a good dad. What confidence should that give me? I should not react like the rest of the world. The disciples' faith failed them because they allow their circumstances to supersede the Word of God. And we need to be those that allow the Word of God to supersede our circumstances. And then we will not be shaken. And listen, we've all done it. We've all done it. But what happens afterwards? After we've gone through it, after we worried, after we pace back and forth, and we're like, God, don't you care? I am dying here. What's going on? Listen, I know I've done it. I'm going through tough stuff. It says, Lord, what's going on? I'm just trying to walk with you, serve you. And then God gets us through it or stops the storm. And we come to find out that God was always under control. And I could have avoided that heartache, that anxiety, all that. And if I just would have trusted him and his promises, could have all been avoided. The Bible tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Listen, Jesus has given us plenty of evidence. Plenty of evidence. God gives us evidence in our lives. Things not seen. God's promises are God's promises. It doesn't change. His word is powerful, supernatural. And until we understand that, until we receive that, our lives, if we don't understand that, our lives won't change. If we treat God's word like anything else, let me tell you, you will not grow. You will not change. Your life will stay the same. And you can go back to the illustration of the soils. And you can find yourself there. I could find myself there. But when we say God's word is powerful, we know the power of God in our lives. We've all done it. But we shouldn't. We should learn from it and grow. We start having a history with God and his faithfulness. My faithlessness and his faithfulness. Colossians 3:15 says that I should allow the peace of God to rule in my heart. That I should allow that. Once again, it's a choice. That I need to allow God's peace to rule in my heart. Sometimes I don't want to allow it. Lord, I got this. Oh, well, I don't got this, but what's going on? We get so confused. Trust in God. So we're to trust Jesus. He is so good. Notice what happened. These manly men, these fishermen, take a look at what happens next. It says, and they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, who can this be? For he commands even the winds and water, and they obey him. What do you mean, who can this be? What do you mean? You've been walking with him, the things he's done. Listen, they're knowing him now. Now, in this circumstances, when it affects their lives, when it meant their skin, when it meant truly, now they see his deity personally. They've seen it in other people's lives, but now, because when it affects you, when it affects me, there's a personal aspect to it. They got a dose of reality, and listen, now they see him with a different set of eyes. They have experienced his deity. They say creation obeys him, and they marvel. Who can this be? God. God is the answer. It is in storms that we get to know our Jesus better, more intimate, more profoundly. It is in storms that our faith grows as we see God's faithfulness in our unbelief. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Listen carefully. Storms bring us into a deeper relationship with our Lord, and they give us a fuller understanding of God. He works in those storms. And we will learn one way or the other. We will learn either one, how bad, where we're at. We can say, where is my faith? And we're like, why did I doubt? Or we can say, God, you are so good. You're going to get me through this, and the peace that surpasses understanding will guard your hearts and minds. Because we're like, ah, he's my dad. He hasn't dropped the ball. He knows what's going on. Psalms 89:8 says, O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty like you, O Lord? Your faithfulness also surrounds you. Listen, your faithfulness also surrounds you. That is his character. That is who he is. You rule the raging of the sea when its waves rise. You still them. That is our God. He does that. But wait, there's more. They're in a storm. Jesus calms the storm. He says, where is your faith? A rebuke on all that he's been saying and teaching. Where's your faith? But now they arrive. They get to the other side, and all is well, and they live happily ever after. Verse 26, look at it with me. Then they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite of Galilee. So imagine this with me. You got the Galilee, Sea of Galilee. They were in Capernaum. They went straight across. Gadarenes, and there's a particular region that is on the opposite side and is really a region for Gentiles. We see that they were farming pigs, right? Which Jews did not do. So it says, which is opposite Galilee, verse 27, and when he stepped out on the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. A demoniac. What's waiting for him on the other side? What's waiting for them? Demons. A possessed man. That's what's waiting for them. But notice, I want you to read this carefully and take a look at some of the characteristics of a possessed man. Some of the things that they do. A possessed person. And hopefully, it would just give us a clearer understanding in the days that we live in. Notice, it says, and when he stepped out on the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. And he wore no clothes. No clothes. He was naked. And when I read this, I was thinking back. Genesis 3. I was thinking, you know, it's amazing. In the garden, everything perfect. Sin had not entered men. And it says that Adam and Eve, they were naked and they were not ashamed. They walked before God, open everything. It was wonderful. There's no sin. It was the perfect environment. And then what happens? Satan enters the picture and sin enters man. And what happens? They're ashamed now. They try to cover themselves. And they're hiding from God. What happens in the life of a believer is when there's sin in their lives, they try to cover themselves. They want to get away from church, from God. Just like Adam and Eve, they were hiding from God. Why? Because there is shame. But then somebody that's given over completely to darkness, that Satan now has a stronghold in their life, there's possession, they're no longer ashamed. They just flaunt their sin. There's no longer any shame. They go from one extreme to the other. Of course, we never see that here in this city of Portland. We don't see these things. My experience here, and I shared this before, the first week that I moved here, I went out to Portland to share the gospel with some friends. I came from Texas, which was, it has changed, but it's conservative, different, just a different culture. And I come here, and you know, the Lord brought us here. We didn't come, the Lord brought us. And we go out there, and we're sharing the word of God. Here I am, and Dave, who's a 10th hour, that's, anyway, great guy. They were here sharing the gospel. They go out and share the gospel. We're out there, and I'm next to him, and I'm sharing the gospel, and all of a sudden, between two people, I see a guy walking across the street naked. I mean, all he had was, you know, anyway, naked. And I was like, whoa. And I'm looking at him, and I'm here, and I'm looking around. And then I had like a double whoa, because I was more shocked that people were not shocked. I was, how could you not be shocked? This is not normal, guys. And then my brother said, yeah, that's here. And I was like, oh, Lord. Listen, he was not ashamed. This possessed man, totally given in and to darkness. He wore no clothes. Take a look at another thing here. It says, nor did he live in a house, but in the tomb. We read a little further down. It says that he was in the wilderness, so he was homeless. He was no longer with people. He was homeless. He chose to be that direction. Well, possessed. That's where they wanted to be. Homeless. Listen, I'm not saying that everybody out there that's homeless is possessed. I am not saying that. There's many reasons for people. There are many, though, that choose to do that. And I know that for a fact, because I've done homeless ministry. And it's a hard ministry that people choose to be out there. And there are people that are just so strung out on drugs, that's it. And one of the things I want to say about drugs, guys, is that drugs is a gateway into the spiritual realm, into the demonic activities. It opens up your mind and it opens up yourself to demonic activities. That's what drugs do. And when you're out there, you notice certain things. You're like, wow, this person is just not right. You know that, man, this person is possessed. You see these things. But what happens is people excuse it. They give it all kinds of labels. They say, this is what it is. This is what it is. Well, the same thing happens. I'm not saying that all of them are possessed. That's not at all. Don't misunderstand me, but there is plenty, and we excuse it away. Naked, homeless, in tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out. Notice this, though. There is a man in there. Notice. Actually, that's not him. I take that back. Notice who's speaking here. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Is that the man speaking? Is that what he's saying? Who's that? Yeah. He cried out. When we look at this, I want us to notice certain things here. First, is that he fell down before Jesus. They recognize Jesus' authority. They know who he is. Listen, demons have good theology. They know this is God. This is the Son of God. They cry out. He says, what do we have to do? Don't, you know, they're scared. They know their end. They know what's going to happen to them. They're not doubting, is there a hell? Is there a place of torment? They're not saying that. They know exactly what awaits them. And notice that they identify Jesus. He says, you're the Son of the Most High God. You're the Son of the Creator of all things, Yahweh. His deity, the Trinity. And we're going to see that further on. Okay, we're going to proof verse once again, and we see it all over. But they fall down. They can't help but to worship, to get down before him. And they're scared. And they know who he is. And notice, I beg you. That's what the demons say. It's actually demons. I beg you, do not torment me. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it had often seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles, and he broke the bonds and was driven by the demons into the wilderness. Interesting. Here he is. They know who Jesus is. And notice that this man, that people did what they could to try to control this man. What do they do? They bound him. And he broke those chains. Supernatural strength. He wore no clothes. He was homeless. He had supernatural strength. Have you guys witnessed that before? You know, some of these police officers, when they go on and arrest some of these people, that has happened. They have broken cuffs. Supernatural strength. And Mark actually tells us that he was crying out and that he was cutting himself in the tombs. Have you witnessed people cut themselves? Have you seen that? That's like a big thing. I've seen that. I've had family members do that. And I'm like, where does that come from? That doesn't come from Jesus. And pointing them to where that is coming from, that is demonic, cutting himself. Straight from Satan. Satan gets a kick out of torturing, just brutalizing people. Notice what happens next. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. Jesus asked him, saying, what is your name? And he said, Legion. Legion. Because many demons had entered him. And they begged him. Notice it turns to they now. It went from he to they. They begged him that he would not command them to go into the abyss. And there is so much here, guys. There's so much. One is legion, right? What is a legion? In the Roman army, it was anywhere from 5,600 troops. That's a lot. And for a minute here, I want you to put yourself in the place of this man. Just for a moment, put yourself in the place of this man. This man had somewhere along the way dabbled into the darkness, into the occult. He's gone in there and followed this. And there's many today. They don't hide it. They just practice the Satanism. We see it on TV. We see it all over. They flaunt it. We see it here once again. For Halloween, they're going to do the same thing here again. And it's amazing, a legion. Think about that. Put yourself in that man's shoes. And you're there, and what are you witnessing? It's like a third person, right? You're witnessing a conversation between demons and Jesus in your body, but you have no control over your body. You're a spectator in your own body because Satan has taken you captive, and you're witnessing this. How incredible is that? Poor man. The only hope he has is Jesus. Nothing that man could do. They couldn't tie him up. They couldn't bound him. They couldn't control him. There's no amount of medication. There's nothing they could do but Jesus. The one who calmed the storms. The creator of all things but him. James 2:19 says, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. There are those that say, oh, I believe there's a God. And only because a person believes God exists does not mean that they are saved. They have no more faith than the demons here. No more faith. A person must repent and receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. A person must be born again in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. That's saving faith. That's it. Simple. Well, the conversation continues. Notice, Jesus asked him, saying, wait, lost my place. Well, one last thing here. There's a lot here, but it looks like we're running out of time. But I just want to mention one thing. He says, this is what the demons said. They said, and they begged him that he would not command them to go into the abyss. This is interesting. This word here, abyss, is the same word used in Revelation 9, 11, 17, and 20 for the bottomless pit. The demons know their end. Listen to what Revelation 23, verse 3 says. And he cast him into the bottomless pit. This is Satan. This is the serpent of old. And shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. Satan and his demons know their end. They know what comes ahead. And they hate us for it. They will do everything to destroy you and me. A person that doesn't know the Lord, doesn't matter. Their destination is the same as them. A person that knows the Lord, boy, oh boy. Verse 32, now a herd of many swines was feeding there on the mountain. So they begged him that he would permit them to enter them. And he permitted them. Notice that they need permission from Jesus. Clear authority over them. Total authority. They're totally submissive to him. They have no power. And for the Christian, know this, that demons of darkness has no power over you. None whatsoever. Greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. The Spirit of God lives in the believer, in the Christian. And there's nothing that Satan, demonic activities can do. They can oppress. They can try to steer you in certain directions. They can do these things. But they have no power over you. He asked for permissions, and the demons went out of the man, and he entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. Wow. When those who fed them saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what had happened and came to Jesus. There's another people, group of people that come to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed. Notice, they find the guy. They know who he is. He's well known. I mean, if somebody's here in Estacada and he's cutting himself, he's involved in demonic activities, he's naked, running around, he does, you know who he is. And he's been in that condition for a long time. And they come, and what do they see? They see him sitting at the feet of Jesus. He's been delivered just like the woman, that sinful woman that came to Jesus, that was at the feet of Jesus. That is a response, the response of a man that has been delivered from true darkness, that they understand that his sins has been forgiven. A person that has their sins forgiven and understands where they've been delivered from, what their end was, and the love of Christ, the power of God, they will sit at Jesus' feet. And that's where this man is, and that's where they find him. And he says, now he's clothed. He's no longer naked. Because Jesus clothes us with his righteousness. And notice, in his right mind. In his right mind. The culture right now that we hear is not the right mind. The answer for all this is we need to be rooted and grounded in God's word. All these things come, they come, all these ideas, the culture, they want people to just bite into these things and just endorse this and go, all these things. Nature itself is a witness against these things. And it says that Satan is a deceiver. We read that, right? That he wouldn't deceive the nations anymore. He is a deceiver. Listen, we don't want to be deceived. And the way we're not deceived is by being in God's word, rooted and grounded in God's word. Because the word of God is powerful. It will keep you, it will keep me. When these things come, there's no guessing. I know what God's word says. And we need to stand on God's word. Because there's a lot of things going on in the world. A lot of things. Things are not getting better. And I'm not here to say doom and gloom. I'm just telling you, we know the Bible. We know what direction it's going. I love the Lord. And I love his blessings in my life. And as I think, I can't help but smile when I speak of the Lord. Because there's joy in the life of a believer. But there's difficulties. There's hardships too. We have feelings. There's things that happen. But in the midst of all that, there is joy. And when we see all these things once again, we know that Jesus says, hey, you're getting to the other side. You are heaven bound. And I hold on to that and says, all these things may be going on, but I know my direction. I know, Jesus, that one day I'm going to be in your presence, whether you come for me or I go to you. I know you promised me you're taking me to the other side. He's in his right mind. But notice, and they were afraid. What? They had a possessed man doing all these kinds of things, and now they're afraid once Jesus delivered? The power of God, they're afraid. That this man is now in the right mind? People are afraid of the power of God. Why? Because when you see the power of God, when you see a person that you know they're alive, and you know that they're changed, you know that God had transformation in their lives, they're totally a different person, you realize that there is a God for certain. And it's not the God that you thought. It's not your God that you built. And if there is a God, that means that I am responsible in knowing who he is and that there is a reckoning. They're afraid. They also who had seen him told them by what means he who had been demon-possessed was healed. And the whole multitude of the surrounding region of the Gadarenes asked them to depart from them. Notice, they don't want him there. They don't want Jesus there. They see what he did, and it's like, no, you're bad for business, Jesus. We don't want you here. All those pigs, they're gone. But bad for business. Listen, God is our provider. He was bad for business. That's what they were concerned with. And they didn't want him there. And it says, they asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. And he got into the boat and returned. For those that don't want Jesus, Jesus is not going to stay there. Those that reject him. Jesus is a gentleman. He does not force himself upon people. He gives invitations to follow him. And he speaks the truth. And he offers eternal life. And he paid for our sins. And he gives us a free gift of life and forgiveness of sins if we want it. But he will not impose himself on us when we say we don't want him. And those people say we don't want him. He says, okay, you won't have me here, nor will you have me in eternity. You're going to be in a place devoid of God. All of God's goodness, anything that you can think is good, any aspect of it, it will be devoid of that. No light. Now the man from whom the demons had departed, just bear with me, we're almost done. I know we've gone over. Departed and begged him that he might be with him. Notice the response, this man that saved wants to be with Jesus. But Jesus sent them away saying, return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you. I want us to look at this carefully. Notice what Jesus tells them. He tells them, no, you can't come with me. Listen, you're in just Gentile region. I want you to go to your own house and tell them what he says. Tell them what God has done for you. Notice those. These words are important because notice what happens next. And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things, who? Jesus had done for him. What God had done for him, what Jesus had done for him. This man was not confused on who Jesus was. He is God. And he proclaimed it to all who would listen. He said, this is what Jesus done in my life. This man had no theology. By all accounts, he was a Gentile. Doesn't tell us, but that's what that region was. He didn't have the knowledge of God. He didn't have what the Jews had, the oracles of God. He didn't have all these things. What he had was Jesus, forgiveness of sins. He was born again, and that's what he went and took to them. He says, I know that there's a God, and he's forgiven my sins, and his name is Jesus, and you can be forgiven too, and you can be free too. A testimony. And listen, you guys have a testimony. And you can give your testimony. And it's powerful. And that's what he did. It's important. We're going to leave it here because we did go over time. It's exciting. God's word is exciting. Listen, he is so good. Hold on to God's promises. And you're going through difficult times. There are times we think, man, am I making it through this? You go through illness. You go through pain. You go through... It's part of life. It's part of life. But God is so good, he'll get us through it. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. We love you. We praise you. Lord, thank you that, Lord, you went across to save this man, that people just had discarded him. He was nothing to others. Lord, he was in tombs. He was crazy, but you saw the man. And Lord, you saved him. You freed him. There's no one who is so far gone, Lord, that you don't desire to save and that you can save if there is a desire for that person to come to know you. They receive you. Thank you that there's no obstacles with you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you calm the storms and the water. Thank you that you free those that are in bondage. Thank you for, Lord, for your powerful word. Thank you that you love us. And Lord, I pray if someone here that doesn't know you, that they would not leave the same way, Lord, that they would understand today that God has spoken to them. That they would not be like that crowd that said, I don't want Jesus. This is too much. Too intense. I don't know about all that, they may say. But it wasn't, Lord, intense as going to the cross, dying willfully, God allowing that because you love us so much. So I pray if there's someone here, Lord, that today they would do business with you, that they would repent of their sins and they would come to you. Lord, to be born again, they would find out the incredible life that comes in the family of God.